denial, and it reminds me of disagreements I've had with my teenagers. And when the response I get from a teenager is, whatever, I know I've won. That means they have no real counter-argument, they have no facts or figures. And I think that with most people, I put Rachel Maddow in this category, certainly. When you say, well, here's the debt, and here's what it will take to repay it, we will have to pay 80% tax rates, income tax rates, for everybody, not just 50% of people in this country who actually pay taxes. So here's all the math. This is the Congressional Budget Office, the Government Accounting Office. Tell me, critic of mine, tell me where I'm wrong and everything. When you get the reaction of whatever, or you're crazy, or it can't happen, when you get a non-thought response like that, you have won. And I have never, ever heard a good response to these arguments. And by the way, I'm being fair about it. If somebody had a brilliant reason why I need not worry, why I need not spend time and a considerable amount of money getting ready for this, why I need not have a major disagreement with my wife, which causes a lot of consternation, if there was a reason I didn't have to sacrifice so much to get ready, I would be the first to say, boy, that's great. I'm really glad to hear, because I don't want to live in a world of bad news. You've known me. You know me. You know I'm not a bad news guy. I'm not a gloomy person. So if there's a counter argument, if there's a good response, I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. I've never, ever heard it. And I would challenge anyone to tell us why we're wrong, because I want to be wrong.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I find it interesting, too. It always seems to be people that have not served their country in any capacity other than being an elected official. They really haven't served their country in combat. They haven't been overseas. They haven't really seen the way the rest of the world actually works. And then they sit there and they turn around and they say something like that. And you ask them a question like, well, are you defending printing $85 billion a month, $60 trillion in unfunded liabilities, and Obamacare, which in Washington state alone is going to cost $30 billion over 10 years to implement, as really good for this country? Are you defending that? And then, you know, they walk away or the question changes. It's interesting, too, that it's not only, you know, kind of in the mainstream or middle-of-the-road discussions. It's also among Christians that I've heard some of this stuff that, nothing's wrong. It's going to continue the way it always has. How do you answer that?
Wow, I would answer this, especially to Christians. Where in your life experience, or where in the Bible, or where in world history, do you come to the conclusion that America, circa 2013, is normal? That is to say, the amazing abundance. And yes, people are out of work, but there's amazing abundance in this country. The standard of living is unimaginable to most people throughout most of the time, and certainly in most parts of the world. We are a 10,000th of 1% of the people who've ever lived have ever had it this good. And so why would you assume that this amazing abundance is the norm? Because I can clearly demonstrate that it is not the norm. Currently in the world, it's not the norm, and throughout time, it has never been the norm. So why would God create relative abundance and a high standard of living for us and tell us this is the way it's always going to be? And why would God do that and let all these other people, you know, live in much lower conditions? Does that make any sense to you, or is it more likely that the standard of living we have now is an aberration? It's completely unlikely to be sustained. It's only existed for a short period of time when you compare the standard of living even in the 1950s to the way it is now. So this cannot be normal, is what I would say, and I would ask for personal examples, historic examples, and biblical examples of why I'm wrong. And I don't think anyone could come up with them.
And by contrast, what Scripture does say is that we need to be hospitable, that we need to love our neighbor. And our neighbor just isn't our family or the person that lives next door. We're talking about everyone. I mean, when Christ was asked by a lawyer, actually, you know, who is my neighbor? Jesus responded with the story of the Good Samaritan. So we're not talking about the folks just next door. We're talking about everybody. And as Christians, in, you know, facing crises, we actually have to provide, or at least prepare to provide, for our neighbors and our friends. But we were talking before the show, Glenn, that there's a Doomsday Prepper episode that talked about something called marauders. Can you explain what that is to listeners and how that really goes against what we believe as Christians?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very disturbed to see this, and I don't get mad very often, but I was hopping mad yesterday. There's going to be a new episode of Doomsday Preppers, which is this show on National Geographic that makes all preppers look like idiots and alarmists, so I despise the show, but this is even worse. There's a family in Buckley, Washington, which is in Pierce County, rural Pierce County, and this family of preppers, I don't even want to call them preppers because they're not really preppers, this family of goofballs has decided that their survival plan is to be well-armed and to go out and steal from people when a collapse comes. They say right on camera, this is not an inference, this is not me deciphering anything. They say, yeah, our plan is to be marauders. We will go and take things from other people. And I don't mean to be critical of them. I'm not a critical person, but I'll just put it this way. When you take a look at this family, they're not exactly in good physical condition. They couldn't really do much, and I think that they're deluding themselves. I think they're borderline crazy for thinking that they can be about 300 pounds and run out and take stuff from people. First of all, I think it's ineffective tactically, and I'll just leave it at that. But second of all, it's completely unbiblical. By the way, these folks on the show do not claim to be Christian. They do not claim to be following the Bible, so I'm not saying they're being hypocritical. If anything, they're being honest. They're probably saying out loud what a lot of Americans are thinking, which is, well, I got a gun, I'll just go take from people. Number one, that's wrong. And number two, you're going to get killed doing that. So if anybody out there thinks that's a good idea, you need to not do that, because you and I, both in our preparations, have planned on taking care of people, and not just a little bit of charity, a whole lot of charity, because that's what we're called to do. We, and many people listening right now, have been blessed with the foresight to see what's happening. In many cases, the resources to be able to buy things now that are incredibly inexpensive compared to what they're going to be able to take care of people. And I think, in my case in particular, especially with the book and the commercial success of the book, I've been absolutely blessed, and I have an obligation to take some of this money, much of this money, and to invest in things that are going to help people. And I have done that with a vengeance, and I'm extremely proud of what I'm going to be able to do to help people. Not proud of what I did, because I didn't do it. Proud of what I did with the blessings that were given to me, and of course can be taken away from me if I am not the one to do what God wants to have happen. So we have an obligation to take care of each other. You know, these marauders, you know, I wish them the best. I hope they just realize that it's not going to work. But I can tell you, if they come near the Pierce Point depicted in the book, they're not going to be marauding anything. There's going to be a line in the sand, and they're going to be stopped right there. I hope they walk away, but it's not going to end well for these folks.
No, it just doesn't seem like it will. And I think on top of that, that it's a lesson for all of us as Christians. What do we need to be preparing for? And we're not just talking about some sort of an economic collapse scenario. We're talking about other things like natural disasters, snowstorms. I mean, it's happened many times where I-90 has been closed down because of snowstorms. We had Mount St. Helens. I mean, look what happened just 5 days ago in the Philippines. Horrible, horrible tragedy. That's just another reason we as Christians should be ready in the event something like that happens.
Absolutely. We should be ready for ourselves, for our families, for our neighbors, and for the wider community, because that's why we're here. We are here to help people. We have to take care of ourselves, because we don't do anybody any good if we can't, you know, make it through ourselves. But we're here to help. And everybody listening to me, I bet, understands that you have been chosen. You are you were blessed, and you need to answer this question. Here's what it all comes down to for me, and this clarifies so many things in my life for me. When I die, I have to give an accounting for my life. And if God says, remember when this and this happened, and I did this, and I put you in this position, and you could help somebody, and you decided that watching a bunch of football was maybe a better idea than working on some medical supplies that you knew would help other people. And remember when that little kid was dying, and remember how that felt when you knew that you could have done something if you would have got some anti-diarrheal pills that are 3 cents a piece at Costco? Do you remember all that? That's what I don't want to have happen. Obviously, there will be things when I account for my life that will be terrible that I did wrong. Obviously, that will happen because I'm a human being and a sinner, but that's the way I look at things. How are you going to account for your life with all that you've been given, both with time and resources and relationships? You should have the best answer possible, because we all know what the best possible outcome of that is, and that is God saying, well done, my faithful servant. That's what it's all about. I want to have as many well done as possible.
Well, Glenn, in the last 30 seconds that we have, can you give the listeners where they can go to get your book, to read about it, and find out more about you and what you're doing with 299 Days?
You bet. The best place to get the book is Amazon. Just type in 299 Days, and all six books will come up. Very soon, book 7 will be out. You can go onto the website and get free bonus chapters, and also get an email alerting you when book 7 is out, which will be kind of a good thing to have. And that website is, as you can imagine, 299days.com, www.299days.com. A lot of great stuff on there. I put a lot of things up on Facebook. I communicate with folks. I'm getting so many listeners sending me news stories and things like that that I put up and share, and it's become that. So anyway, those are the ways. Just Google 299 Days and you'll be set.
Sounds good. Glenn, thanks again for being on Battlefront with me this morning. We'll make sure to have you on again, all right, my friend?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate all you do.
Glenn Tate, author of the wildly popular 299 Days series. Check it out on Amazon or 299days.com, 299days.com. Remember, pray for a revival of repentance. Well, we voted as strongly as we speak in church on Sunday this last election, and we won. That's what happens when we show up, because the temple of the Holy Spirit is the government of the United States, and truth compels us to act. Make sure you visit Freedom Agenda on Facebook, Freedom Agenda Washington on Facebook. Like the page. It's our clearinghouse for what's going on in Olympia and what you can do to make a difference. This is Matt Shea. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one. Paid for by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican.
American Christian Network affiliates are KSPO, Dishman, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, KTBI, Ephrata, Moses Lake, Wenatchee, KGDN, Pasco, Richland, Kennewick,
plus KTAC, Ephrata, Moses Lake, and KYAK, Yakima.
Who is God? God is the absolute sovereign over all things. He is the creator and owner of everything. He has power over all things, and He has the right to rule everything as He pleases. This is the God of the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, an ancient Babylonian king, said of God, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before Him, and He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou?" This is Pastor Rodney Klein from Covenant of Grace Protestant Reformed Church in Spokane, where we have this big biblical view of God. You can learn more about us on the web at reformedspokane.org or by visiting us at 330 West Indiana in Spokane. We preach the kingdom of God and teach those things which concern our Lord Jesus Christ.
AC and affiliates are KTBI and KTAC, Freda, Moses Lake, Wenatchee, KYAK, Yakima, KGDN, Pasco, Richland, Kennewick, KSPO, Dishman, Spokane.
Former Congresswoman and State Representative Linda Smith is coming to Spokane, and she has a story to tell about a teenage girl from Spokane who was unfortunately chosen. This was not a good thing because she had been chosen to be lured into the sex trafficking industry by a